from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't you know I've come a long, long way? I've been longing to see her. When she's around, she takes my blues away. Sweet Maria.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two already. All right. Let's head down Port O'Connor way now. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Lynn Smith, and strike up a conversation with him. That's kind of hard to do sometimes, but we'll get through it. Lynn, good morning. How you doing, man?
Yeah, it's hard to do.
Hard to do with you, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm lost for words.
Yeah.
No, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, back in paradise. And got back from South Texas, and it's kind of hard to leave down there, I guarantee you. We rode around that ranch and saw some pretty good animals, and checked out some trail cameras, and our neck swelled a little bit, but got all fired up, man, pumped up.
I need a couple of cool fronts to really break me over the edge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I guarantee you. Yeah, it was funny how hot it was, during the day, and then we were sitting around that morning, and it was cool in the morning, really cool and nice. And we were sitting around by the fire pit drinking coffee, and that friend of mine owns that ranch. He said, come on, let's ride around. So we jumped in the Jeep, and we rode around looking at animals. And, it was pretty day, real pretty day.
Yeah.
But checked it out. Saw some pretty good animals that morning. Few deer were moving around. After the hot day, I mean, of course, the middle of the day, you didn't see anything. They were all laid up in that brush. I don't blame them, hot as it was. Good grief. But anyway, got back to paradise, and fishing's been good. Fishing's been pretty good. Been a lot of tarpon out here in the surf and everything.
Everybody I talk to,
man, they're hooking up on tarpon. I'm never targeting tarpon, but we hook them. But we always hook them when we're not trying to, never fail.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Especially with light tackle that you're fishing for trout and reds with, and you hook something 150 plus pounds. That's quite a feat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And seems like I always hook them when I'm wading,
Oh, boy. Fails. The only one I ever hooked wading when I was, I was about 12 or 14 in the surf down by the pass. Back in the day, and I hooked one on a Johnson Sprite spoon, a gold spoon. And
oh my goodness!
Last time I saw him, he was heading to Cuba.
Heading south.
That was it.
Yeah,
it was all over with.
I had this one doctor that he booked me actually this pharmaceutical. Salesman, she booked me because the doctor wanted to fish with me, and anyway, we went out and we waded this one flat, and these tarpon free jump out away from this flat. And anyway, we were out there wading the flat, and he and I were catching trout, and she got kind of bored. She wasn't a real good fisherman, but she went back and laid on the boat. She had a bikini on, and boy, she laid up on the bow of my boat, and she's up there sunning. Well, he and I were out there catching trout, and we're having a good time, and all of a sudden I went to set the hook on this, what I thought was a trout, and when I set the hook, all of a sudden, man, this fish came out of the water. Boy, and it was about a 5 or 6 foot tarpon. Boy, his mouth was open, gills were flared, and he came about halfway out of the water, and then he went south. And I just put my thumb on the spool and broke him off, you know. I mean, I didn't want him to spool me. And so anyway, we get back to the boat. I said, did you see that tarpon I hooked? And she went, what tarpon? I said, oh, man. I said, you missed it. That was a good one. He was a good fish. And, boy, he was a hefty one. But he was right up there in that real shallow water.
Isn't that something?
But this one area that I catch those trout in, I see those tarpon free jumping out there in the summer. And I wondered, now, why are they out there free jumping in this one area, you know? And then I got out there, and I started working that area over. Well, there was a lot of scattered shell out there in about 8 feet of water. And that's where they were working. They were working that area.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
On that bait, baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That on that bait. And that's where they were. They're out there every year, every summer. And then I saw some fly fishermen get out there after them, too. And I know one fly fisherman in town, he caught one out there, a big one. I mean, a monster of a tarpon on a fly rod. I don't know exactly how big it was, but it was a big one.
Yeah.
But for inside the bay, that was a big tarpon.
Those but we big get them fish in the bay. Come in and come out just like the sharks do, and the jacks, and
that's
everybody
right.
else.
That's right. We weren't too far from the pass, so they move in and out.
Yeah.
When I first started fishing Port O'Connor, there were a lot of baby tarpon in the bay. I remember that. We had a lot of them. But I think industry...
way back in the day, you used to hear about them more frequently, you know, juvenile tarpon like that.
Yeah, but I think industry kind of ran them out back then, you know, kind of pollution a little bit.
Water quality means everything.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I know they had a big meeting last week. They had a big meeting up in Port Lavaca about pollution up there in the bay, in Lavaca Bay. And I don't know exactly how that turned out, but I know
there's
been
a big issue for years. It was all that mercury. Everything in the water from the Alcoa aluminum plant, right?
That's right. That's right. And I'll tell you a little story. I'll never forget this. Years and years ago, I was way up there right by Alcoa, and I was had customers. We were up there wading a reef up there, catching trout, and we were right there by Alcoa. And we came back. And I was cleaning the fish. We were right there on the cleaning table, and I was filleting fish, and we're talking. And I filleted this trout, and when I flipped the fillet over, I smelled a strong odor.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, oh, my goodness. And when I flipped that fillet over, there was a portion of his bone on the fillet that was eaten away like cancer.
Yeah. I've seen that.
I mean,
that.
I've never seen
Now, I've seen those kind of, it's kind of a, you can see these tumors in them sometime along that backbone. There's like a, it's kind of a reddish brown, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard, and you can cut it open, and it looks like spores inside of it. It's pretty weird.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
guys, I don't think they're going to eat this one.
No, I don't. Well, they've had fish consumption bans on that area up there for years.
Yeah,
you know, like
they
we
had
do
signs
all our toxic waste dump sites upstream, you know, in our bay system.
Yeah. Oh, it was bad. That was real bad. And so anyway, I quit going up there, you know, quit fishing up that far. Oh, that was terrible. I mean, the odor was horrendous, you know.
You know, we had money by the federal government allocated. I think it was under the Bush administration back in 2000 or what have you, to clean up these toxic sites in our system. Mm-hmm. And they just keep kicking the can down the road. I mean, here it is, man. 24 years later, and nothing's been done. They threw tarp and rock and all that over that one there by I-10 on the Sandy Center River. They put a Band-Aid on it. I don't get it.
Money.
Get it. The money was appropriated for that. I mean, it was supposed to be funded. And I think it was under, you know, Bush. And nobody's done anything about it since.
Man, oh, man.
And they've got, they got all the warning signs out at all the docks up that way. You know, there's kind of like an imaginary line that runs from Houston Point to Red Bluff Point. And all waters northward of that, it states not to, eat those fish from up there. All species. Man. It used to be just trout and catfish because, you know, they have that lentil fat that concentrates those, chemicals in them a lot easier. Well, but it's all species now.
Well, what gets me is, I mean, last year and years prior, you'd see the oyster boats right up there.
Yeah.
And I said, man, I wouldn't eat an oyster up there. You couldn't give me one. And they were oystering like crazy. I said, no way.
I don't know enough about that. You know, oysters filter so much water.
Yeah.
They're naturally going to be cleaner. The problem with fish is they feed on the bait fish that is born and raised there that are totally contaminated, and then it gets into their system even worse.
Mm. I don't know. An oyster is a filter. You know, he's filtering that everything. I mean, good grief. I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but I don't know. I just wouldn't eat an oyster up there.
No, there's too many good places to eat them.
That's right.
You know.
Before I buy oysters, I want to know where they were harvested.
Right.
Yeah. We used to go down, I used to take a number 10 wash tub, and we'd go down here on like Panther Reef and areas like that. Mm-hmm. And we'd just walk on the reef, pick up big clusters of oysters, and take a hammer and knock the dead ones off and throw the good ones in that number 10 wash tub. And till we got a good bunch of them, and then we'd go back to the dock and make up a bunch of red sauce, and we'd sit there and shuck oysters and just eat oysters right there on the dock. You know, that was a good day. You know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And of course, we'd have a cold adult beverage with it. But
What we used to do down in Christmas and Bass Drop and Chocolate Bay area. My Uncle Jimmy's there. We would take his boat, and we'd already have our red sauce made up and some cold beer in the boat, and just go to Rattlesnake Point and park the boat and get out. Everybody had their own bucket, and you'd come back to the boat and just stand on the side of the boat shucking those oysters and eating them. They were salty, and just they were perfect.
Oh,
give them that red sauce. Oh, man, that was good.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Now I'm afraid to do anything like that. You hear all the, the fallout from all this stuff.
Oh, I quit eating them raw years ago.
Well, in the summer months, you're just playing Russian roulette with those raws like that. Blaine and I lost a good friend to that 2 years ago. He got Vibrio, intestinal Vibrio. He was gone in a week.
Well, you know, we lost one of our guides. About a month ago, he old guy. I mean, you know, this guy was about 83, 84.
Right.
And Bob Blevins was his name. And Bob was a great guy. And he went wade fishing and got Vibrio. And about 3 days later, he was dead.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
It don't take long, boy. That stuff hits the blood, and you're done.
Yep, that's right.
It travels fast. Man, that's bad stuff. Let me knock this break out, Lynn. Hang on a second,
buddy. All right.
Keep it. All right. Well, join us on Saturday, or actually September 7th, from 2 to 9 p.m. for the Heat Wave Slam Shrimp Boil Fundraiser. That's at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda, Texas, for just $20. You can enjoy all-you-can-eat shrimp, live music, and a chance to win big in our raffle. Limited tickets are available, so please purchase yours online at heatwaveslam.com. That's heatwaveslam.com. And don't forget about the Heat Wave Slam Fishing Tournament. Guaranteed $5,000 payout to the top five teams. Entry is just $300 per team. And the weigh-in will be from 2 to 4 p.m. that afternoon. So all proceeds off this tournament, they'll support the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association. So get your tickets or register for the tournament today at heatwaveslam.com. That's heatwaveslam.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. Opening day of dove season, central and north zone. How about that? All right, it's 518 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we're back.
Yeah, and I was supposed to go dove hunting this afternoon, but the guy that the outfitter that we were going to hunt with, he called and said, oh, no, it's not going to happen. The birds moved out, and so they were there a couple of days ago, but our birds moved out.
Wow.
So,
well, at least he's honest about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've hunted with him several times, but anyway, we just hunt right outside of Port Lavaca. And I thought that was going to be the case because I just haven't been seeing the birds around here in the last couple of days. They just kind of disappeared.
As weather, you know, all this rain and everything, it scatters them, man. It changes things.
Always it sure happens. Does. And quick.
Quick. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here today, gone tomorrow, baby.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of game, while I was down there in South Texas, I was talking to the ranch manager of that ranch at George West. And anyway, he was telling me that, you know, one of the groups that hunted last year down there that came on that that deer hunt.
That they 8-point booked again. Special.
Yeah, they booked again.
Awesome.
And so they're coming back. And anyway, I gave when I gave out the number on the radio, I gave out his landline number, and so I want to give his cell number to call him.
All right.
Yeah. So let me give out this number to call out.
Give out the right number this time.
The right number, which is easier to get him. You can get him on the landline, but he said, I hardly ever answer that number. But anyway, his cell number is 361-701-6611. And his name is Al Bisbee.
Yeah.
And he's the game manager on the ranch, and they're gonna have one hunt I think the week before Thanksgiving, and then two hunts in December. And he said that he's had a couple of people call that, you know, they may have, you know, two guys and they're looking for two others.
Because it's more, a four-man hunt. It's like a four-man deal, right, yeah.
Four-man deal. But, you know, like he said, well, if there's two of you, don't be shy because, you know, there may be two guys and he might be able to put two other guys with you. So
gotcha.
Think about that. Yeah, that may work. So anyway, it looks like a good season because from the trail camera pictures, there's going to be some good deer this year.
Yeah, I think
real
so.
Good deer.
You know, with the proper rain we've had at the right times this year, and man, it,
oh yeah,
horn production might be a little bit bigger this year than last year.
Yeah, and I think they're going to do the flyover. I think they're going to do the flyover with the biologist. I think in October. I think that's when it's going to be. They may do two flyovers. Who knows? I know they've got like 70 doe permits right now. He may even get more than that depending on the flyover, you know, once they do the count.
Right.
But they had a real good doe crop. I mean, a fawn crop last year.
Yeah, all twins this year, it sounds like. Just about every doe got twins.
I think so, yeah. In fact, you know, when we do the doe harvest and we try to take out some does, you have to be real careful, you know. And I tell people, you know, when a doe walks out, don't just pop them. You know, wait a little bit. Make sure they don't have yearlings with them, you know.
Right.
You got to make sure it's a barren doe.
Yeah, because a lot of times you'll kill a doe. It's got a couple of fawns, and you just kill three deer when you kill that one because those fawns
don't have
a chance without their mama to protect them.
That's right. So you got to be real careful. So
yes.
We do that. You got to be careful. You don't want to take away the mama, you know.
Yeah, you get them back to the cleaning station and the guy that cleans the deer cleans that doe and it's got milk. And they know there's no hiding.
Oh, yeah.
They know that that doe was nursing babies.
That's right. She's wet, you know, and we keep a record. You know, we're an MLD, which is Managed Land Deer Ranch. And so we keep a record. And, yeah, that's one of the things you have to keep on there is whether or not the doe was wet or not, whether or not she was still nursing, you know. But and you can see, too, if the fawns or the yearlings are up in age, I mean, they're up pretty good size. If they come up to that doe and they try to nurse, if she kicks the yearling off, you know that she's through.
Sure.
You know, she's through nursing. And that's a whole nother story there. You know, she's through nursing. She's ready to breed again. You know?
Yes.
She's ready to breed.
Why she's kicking them off. She's ready to have some fun of her own.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, I can't get that video out of my head you sent me the other day of that hybrid viper, a cross
between
a cottonmouth water moccasin and a copperhead.
Isn't that
something? What a nasty creature.
Oh, how about that guy with that cottonmouth, and it was striking at him, and he was messing with it.
Yeah, and it was striking at his face and everything, and he's holding it. I'm going, you know.
Oh, what an idiot.
Yeah, are people just crazy or what? But, I mean,
I
still picture that snake laying on that bed. I mean, of all places to video that hybrid, laying on a made-up bed with the pillows and everything, and here's this big... big nasty snake, copperhead markings with that cotton mouth head. I'm going, wow!
Ooh.
What a snake!
Oh. You know, I can still remember when I was real young. I was in high school, I think, and I was walking along the banks of Taylor's Bayou and outside of Port Arthur there.
Oh,
and
cottonmouth city!
And I was crappie fishing, and you'd walk along the bank, and we were using a cane pole with a little jig, And I'd walk along, and I'd just drop it down along brush piles, you know, and catch some crappie. And somebody had laid some boards down across a muddy spot, and I was walking along on this board, and I heard this hissing noise, and I looked down, and there was a cottonmouth laying there, had his mouth open, you know, looking at me. And first I thought the snake was dead. That was the first impression I had. Well, this snake is dead, and somebody laid him down there, and the snake had his mouth open. Well, that cottonmouth had his mouth open, you know, warning me.
That's a warning sign, yeah. He's lit
That's
up.
Right.
He's ready to rock and roll.
He was. And, boy, I stopped, and well, he had his mouth open warning me, and I went, no, I think I'll back up, you know. And, boy, he was a big old cottonmouth. And, man, he was ready to pop me. He was. I just started backing up, easing up. But I can still remember that. You know, you some things you never forget, and that was one of them. Whew, man.
Where did you get that video of that hybrid viper? I got a listener already going, can you tell us where to find that video so I can have bad dreams, please?
I don't know. I don't know where I saw that, but, yeah, I had to send that to you.
Well,
that's
you send it to me on Facebook. It's too long. I can't send it on a text. This guy.
Oh, really?
I was friends with him on Facebook. I could just forward it to him.
Yeah, I don't remember, but that's a pretty snake, though.
Yeah, if you can call a snake beautiful, it was a good-looking one.
yeah, but who'd want to breed them? Who would want to breed those two snakes? Man.
I don't know. That's leave nature alone.
Yes, sir.
Man,
especially those two. I mean, boy, that's mean and meaner, you know.
You know, and there's really, you know, as far as markings and beauty of snakes, if you can find that in them, you know, rattlesnakes are real pretty, especially when they get those black bands down by their tails before they get to the, you know, rattle and buttons. And, you know, a timber rattler is real pretty.
Yeah.
And where I killed that big deer with Crocker that year in East Texas. Man, you talk about timber rattlers and that on that ranch, and man, you go walking around in that brush out there. You better have your head screwed on right. You know, they'll get in there stomping around looking for a deer, somebody crippled, and man, it's touch and go. Crocker, I remember him mentioning one time he saw like 25 or 30 of them in one day, just looking for a cripple. For a wounded animal. That ain't good.
Yeah. You know, there in George West, we had some hunters come down from, like, Minnesota. And they came down to hunt, and they were wearing tennis shoes. I said, what are y'all thinking, man? You're in South Texas. We got rattlesnakes down here big as your leg.
Yeah.
And they were wearing tennis shoes.
Not good.
Well,
that's not even good for the thorns. One mesquite thorn, it'll go right through that into your foot, no problem.
Oh, yeah. And one of them shot a deer, and the deer ran off. He shot it right at dark.
Oh, boy, that's the worst time.
Oh, gosh, yes. And so we got out there to look for it. We were tracking it. And next thing I know, I hear this holler, and this guy ran by me. He ran right by me. I said, what are you doing? He said, snake. And he ran by me. And I said, where are you going? He said, there's a snake over there. Well, he finally stopped, and he came back. I said, what kind was it? He said, I don't know, but he said, it was a big one. And I videoed him. I took a picture of him. I said, well, come here, show me the video. Well, it was about a six-foot rattlesnake.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's run. Run fast through the brush and the cactus. That way you can step on a big one.
Yeah, not the truth.
Boy,
and I said, why you saw me? I'd come over there. And he said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'd kill him. I'd shoot him. I got my pistol, you know. And, man, it was at least a six-footer, you know. I said, man, they come out at night. That's when they're out, you know. And he almost stepped on.
That's when they move and go to hunting, get them some rodents.
That's right. Oh,
unless
man,
you're quail
they were
hunting, they can hear a wounded quail flapping its wings in the grass and the brush. Boy, they come running to that. Boy, they.
Mm-hmm.
Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back at you. We'll We'll give all everybody right. nightmares talking about these snakes.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be right back at you. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. They're located right in downtown Belleville. Just go downtown, look for the big white sign. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. And if you're there, check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out all their, you know, smoked pulled pork, their homemade hot dogs. They have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. Homemade hamburger patties and hot dogs are available for all your summer cookout needs also. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf process, that's available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing, it's open all year long. And if you have any exotics or, you know, any other animals you're harvesting this time of year, just give old Brandon a call. He'll get you hooked up and tell you what they can do with it. And they're celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
It gets hotter than a hoochie coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never...
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 535 here in the Bayou City. All right, Liam, we're back.
Yeah, we had a young man out of Canada that guided up there in Canada. He guided bear hunts and stuff. And one of the guys met him up there while they were up there hunting, and they invited him to come down and help us out on the ranch for a couple of weeks around Christmas time. Oh, he was excited, boy. Oh, yeah, I'd love to come down and see that South Texas. Well, he came down, and we told him, the first thing you got to do is get you some boots, get some snake boots. So they took him into Carpus and took him to Cavender's and took him in there. And anyway, he was trying on boots and stuff. I was over looking at some different boots and whatever. I turned around and he said, well, how about these? And he tried on a pair of boots that were about like shrimper boots, you know, about that height. And I said, no. He said, what's wrong with these? I said, well, first off, I said, we got rattlesnakes down here that are big. And I said, those boots aren't tall enough. I said, trust me. I said, you need boots almost knee high. He said, you're kidding. He said, we don't have snakes in Canada. We don't have rattlesnakes in Canada. I said, well, we got them down here. Trust me.
Yeah, be glad anyway, you don't.
So we got him some snake boots. And anyway, we told him, we said, we want you to go around and fill some feeders and stuff. So he was going to fill some quail feeders for us and in his spare time. So he started filling these quail feeders. Well, in a week, he killed three rattlesnakes while he's filling feeders. And one of them, he went up to one of these little quail feeders where you put a block of quail feed in the feeder. And he went up to that feeder to put a block of quail food in there. And there was a 6.5-footer coiled up next to that feeder. 6.5-footer had, I think it had something like 15 or 16 rattles on him.
Oh, boy.
Just coiled up right next to it. And I gave him a .22 pistol with rat shot in it to carry with him. I said, you take this pistol with you. You're going to need it. He said, you think so? I said, oh, yeah, I think so. And I said, shoot him in the head. I said, it'll kill him real good. And he used it. He definitely used it. He said, man. He said, these snakes are big. I said, yes, they are. Now I said, some of these snakes will hit you about waist high. He said, oh, my God. He said, yeah, we don't have snakes like that in Canada. I said, I didn't think so.
You know, I had an old man years ago give me a, it's a .22 pump rifle that he had a 410 barrel put on just for a rat shot.
Yeah.
Just for killing snakes. Not ever. Damn. I've never even shot it, put any rat shot or anything in it. It, I wish it was still a 22 because I think it was made in the late 1800s.
Yeah.
No telling what that thing would be worth with 22 barrel on it.
Oh, man. My dad used to paddle me around in a P-Row, and I had a 22 pump with rat shot, and I would sit up front in that P-Row, and he would paddle me around in these rice canals around Port Arthur, and we'd shoot frogs. That's the way we'd get frogs.
Right. Shoot them
in the head. Shoot them in that hump. Shoot them in that hump. And sitting on the bank, yeah. Shoot them in that hump, it would paralyze them. They wouldn't jump. If you didn't shoot them in that hump, they'd jump. They'd jump in the water. Some of them would sink, you know. Yeah. And if they jumped and went in the water, they'd sink down the bottom. We carried a net, and if they did hit the water, I'd take that net and scoop down. I could find them 9 times out of 10. But that's the way we got a bunch of frogs.
We used to, grab them by hand, hanging over the front of an aluminum boat.
Yeah.
Out there at night with all those water moccasins, but
ones
that were hard to reach, we had, those frog gigs. Remember, they'd open up like hard head grabbers, and you'd hit them with that, and they'd grab that frog, and you'd throw it in the ice chest.
Oh, yeah.
But, you want to see some snakes, go frog hunting tonight.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Big water moccasins.
Big ones, yes,
big
sir.
Big boys.
Yeah, I've talk about nightmares. I've seen some big ones at night like that. Yeah, my dad and I used to go frogging at night. Man, oh man, we used to fill up tow sacks with them, with big old frogs, and see a lot of big cottonmouths.
There's still amazing. A lot of guys that do that frog hunting. They're into it.
Oh, I love it. I used to love to do it. I used to love to eat those frogs.
Man. My mama could cook them frog legs.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I'd eat the whole frog.
But she'd cut those tendons where they wouldn't jump out of the pan.
Uh-huh. You bet. I loved them.
Eating reptiles. I've got a big old garter snake at my house. He's been there all year long. I mean, it's a big one. A ribbon snake. The other day, my lab's out there barking into the ground. I could tell by the bark. I said, she's on a snake. So I ran out there to pull her back, and I looked down, and it was that big garter snake, and it had a big old toad frog in its mouth and was trying to swallow it from the back end. And that frog was sitting there in that snake's mouth with his old eyes blinking and couldn't get away. And it took over an hour for that snake to finally work that frog down and swallow it and then slither off with it.
Huh.
I mean,
well, that's a big snake.
Yeah. I mean, for a ribbon snake, it's about, I'd have to say 3.5 feet long. I mean, it's a good one. I've never seen one this big.
Good grief.
But, I mean, that frog was so big, I can't believe that snake got its mouth around the back end of it and ended up working it down and swallowing it. That's amazing. How much they can stretch their head and open their mouth like that.
Yeah. I told you I had one of those swim and get in my boat.
Big garter snake?
Uh-huh. Yeah, when I got back to the boat I was sitting in the back of my boat putting fish in the cooler, and one of my customers said, "Look at that snake." And I jumped straight up, and it was called up back by the motor. Yeah. I mean, it just as easily could have been a rattlesnake, but it had gotten in the boat. And one of my customers said, "Oh, it's just a ribbon snake." And he reached down and grabbed it, threw it out of the boat. And it was about 3 feet long. And it turned around, came back, swam back to the boat, got back in the boat.
Man.
Yeah. Ever since then, when I get back to the boat, before I climb in the boat, I'm looking. I'm looking real good because you never know. You never know.
Well, I just sent you 3 pictures of that snake. He's in the flower bed by one of those, those rat bait boxes, those black boxes. My exterminator puts them out. And
He's
on that. You can kind of get a scale on him that way. But He's biggest one I've ever seen. You know, I've seen some, you know, two-footers and stuff. This one here, he's definitely mature.
Oh, man.
He's a good one.
Man.
Good snake. That's a good snake to have around.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, I saw one yesterday on Facebook, a big old blue indigo going after a rattlesnake. And, you know, I was down in Freer last year, and I was sitting up in a stand. It was warm, and I'm sitting there about half asleep, and there was a Sendero off to the left, and they kind of came across from my left to the right. And I looked, and I saw something shiny on the edge of the Sendero, and I thought, man, somebody's dropped a water bottle, you know, and left a water bottle on the edge of the Sendero. And about the time that thing shiny started moving, and I went, what in the world is that? I went, got my binoculars, lift up, and it was a blue indigo. And he started to cross that Sendero real slow. I think he had eaten a rattlesnake because he was a big blue indigo, and he was full. And he just was easing across that Sendero coming toward me.
Well, weren't those king snakes originally, weren't they brought here from like Africa or somewhere just to...
I think South America. I think South
maybe
America.
Maybe South America and,
You
know, to keep the population down on rattlesnakes, on poisonous snakes.
Yeah, I think the King Ranch imported them, yeah.
Yeah.
To eat rattlesnakes, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And
well, they'll scare you to death, I'll tell you that. They're big.
They are big. And he came on across that Sendero, came over toward the deer stand. I just watched him come on across. And I said, you just keep on eating them, big boy. Just keep on. And he came on across. He had a head on him about the size of my fist, you know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And he just eased on across. Yeah. I was driving down the road headed back to the ranch house one day, and there was one stretched across the road. He was as big as the road, you know.
Yeah,
I stopped and let him go on across.
Oh, and they're beautiful, too, with that sun hitting them, and they're all lit up. They're
yes, they are.
A pretty snake, if you can call a snake pretty.
Yeah. But, you know, you don't want to run over one. Just let them
No,
let them
I
do
go
the
around
thing.
Them. I see them on the road. I drive around them. That's a good snake to have.
You better know
like
it.
King snakes around here and, you know, coach whips and stuff like that.
Yeah. When I had my lab, I was down there in George West, and I had my lab outside, and I was letting him air out, you know, and boy, he's running around and he's smelling things. And there was a big pile of firewood, and he was away from that, thank goodness. And boy, all of a sudden, big old blue indigo came out of that firewood. I mean, this indigo had to be 10 feet long.
Yeah, they get big, man.
And he never saw it, thank goodness. But I did. I thought, ooh, that's a big one. And my dog never saw that snake. But, man, oh, man, that was a big old blue indigo. But he's a good one to have around down there in South Texas.
If you
want that at your camp.
Good, that's a good one to have. And
you better know it. You better know it. You know, years ago I was down outside of Kingsville and I was dove hunting. And it was real hot, and we were hunting a goat field, a goat weed field. That field just covered in goat weed. And a buddy of mine and I were walking up doves in that field, jump shooting them.
Yeah.
And this buddy of mine hollered at me. He said, come here, you're not going to believe this. And I used to carry a little camera, a little box camera with me all the time. And that particular day I didn't have it, of all things. But anyway, I walked over there, and there was a badger hole in the middle of that field, and there was a rattlesnake. There was a blue indigo on top of that hole, that dirt pile, and he had about a 3-foot rattlesnake half swallowed. And evidently, he'd gone down in that hole and got that rattlesnake and brought him out.
He was hungry.
And had him on top. It was a neat sight, boy. And we sat there and watched him swallowing that rattlesnake. And every once in a while, that snake would just like that, you know. And he was a big old blue indigo, too, boy. But that was a sight to watch, man. It was something. Really pretty.
Biggest one I ever seen was up in DeHaenis, up there around Hondo. Mm-hmm. And a buddy of mine, well, he just passed away. We were at his deer camp. And when you'd pull in through the main road coming in, when you'd pull in, his driveway forked, and you could go around one way or the other to the house. And right in that fork, there was a little mott right there. And we saw this big blue indigo. The Jeep scared him. And he took off across the road, that Sendera. I can't even describe how long and how big around this thing was. It took him 5 minutes to get in that hole there in that mott that he went into. I said, my gosh, what a snake. But that was a good one to have right there by the house. I mean, it'll keep the rattlesnakes thinned out.
Oh, yeah. I saw one in a pond one day. I couldn't believe it. It was cold. And I saw something, and I thought, man, that's a snake. And it was a blue indigo. Came up in this pond, and it looked like he was trying to get a shorebird, but he was just too cold. He couldn't do it. And he crawled out of that pond and got up on the bank and laid there till he sunned and warmed up.
Right.
And then crawled off. And I took a picture of him, and he was laid up there. And he was about 7 or 8 feet long until he finally warmed up in the sun, and he just went on his way. But what he was doing in that pond, I have no idea.
Might have been warming up. The water might have been warmer than the air.
Could have been. Could have been. But I've never seen one do that.
You know something, how these ponds on these ranches, how these wounded deer or dying deer, it's something how they always go to water, isn't it?
They always do. Yep, they always do. Yes, sir. I told you, we found...
A friend of mine, his ranch, their pond went dry in that drought years back. And he said there was like 4 or 5 deer skeletons in that pond where they had gone in there and died.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Yeah, we found several deer in the ponds. We found one. We pulled one deer out of a pond that was, it was 15 points, 15 point deer. He was a pretty good one. And
typical?
Yeah. Yeah.
15-point typical? That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And he had been attacked by a mountain lion. Yeah. But, like I said, that like that biologist said, well, you know, a mountain lion will go after a buck anyway before he will a doe.
Yeah, because a buck will stand his ground. He won't run.
That's right. He'll stand his ground and fight.
He'll stand and fight. Yes, sir.
And the doe will run. So
he'll stand and fight. Blaine, I talked to him the other day. He's been doing all that mowing down there. And he was down by 13, one of the water holes down there. And a big female with 2 kittens ran across the road right in front of him while he was mowing.
Really?
Yeah. They're pretty common on that main ranch, the one at the lodge is on. You know, all the sightings are always there. You know, you'll hear one on one of the other ranches, but most of them are right there for whatever reason. They must have everything they need right there.
Sure.
How many deer they eat?
Oh, man. Well, this biologist told me that they'll kill a deer a week.
Yeah.
You know, they can kill a deer a week, and he said if they've got kittens, they may kill more than that to train their cubs. Yeah.
Yeah, teach them how to hunt and feed them.
Uh-huh. This friend of mine has a ranch at Carrizo Springs, and he asphalted the road from his main gate over to the camp house, which wasn't very far. But anyway, he asphalted it. Well, we were loading up to leave the ranch house. We were all going to leave at the same time, so only had to open that gate once. You know, so we loaded up, and we were all ready to go. And we jumped in our trucks, and just we jumped in our trucks and cranked up, looked up, and there's a mountain lion with a cub sitting in the middle of that asphalt about 50 yards away just looking at us. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
Long-tailed cans.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just looking at us.
They're that is a real sleek and smart animal right there.
Oh, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And you know, they're usually nocturnal. But I've seen, usually I'll see one a year. You know, I usually see one a year, but I saw one year sitting in a stand with a hunter, and I'm on the left side of the blind, and I looked to my left up a sendera, kind of went up a slight hill, and I saw this cat coming down the edge of the sendera, on the edge of the brush,
right,
and coming toward us, and I said, look at that cat. And it looked like a big bobcat, I thought it was, and because it was about 100 yards away coming toward us. And I said, look at that cat. And about that time, it turned to come across the sendero, and I could see that long tail. And I said, oh, it's a mountain lion. And,
yep.
And I was reaching for his rifle. I was going to shoot it, you know, because I didn't have a gun with me. And but you just have a split second, you know.
You don't have long. I mean, you – to get one down there, you've got to have your gun out the window and ready to roll, knowing that he's going to come out, because they don't stick around. They know you're there. They're smart.
Oh, sure.
All their smell,
we were hoping, senses. We were hoping it would come on down to us because it was headed toward us.
Right.
But we stayed there about another hour and a half or more, and it never showed.
Well.
But,
all right, Lynn, you know, we are out of time, brother. I appreciate the conversation, and everybody else does. Got a lot of good compliments earlier on text, but if somebody wants to come down and fish with you, enjoy the day. How they get a hold of you, man?
Oh, man. Yes, sir. They can give me at 361-935-6833.
All right. Oh, and give them out that number again on the 8-point hunt and doe hunt thing.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they can reach out. Al Bisbee is his name, and it's 361-701-6611.
All right, buddy. Won't be long. We're right there.
No, sir. No, sir. Right.
Thanks, Lynn. We'll see you, buddy.
You bet, ma'am.
All right.
Talk
have
to
a
you
good
later.
Day. All right.
You too.
All right. It's time for our top of the hour break and national anthem. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.